and experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org or call 507-645-8877.
Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning. This is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. Thank you for joining me today, and I hope that you're ready to wake up your imagination. I am going to talk a little bit about stories because I love stories, and I want to invite everybody to take the time to slow down and linger in some stories and dedicate some time for stories. And I've always loved to read, and I love to experience the world through characters. It's helped me to understand human relationships. It's shown me how we might process experiences. Of course, it's led me to discover how resilient we are no matter what our life challenges, and it's taught me to reflect on what it means to grow up in this place and this time in this situation. And I just this week have begun to think about my experience with viewing art might be similar. You know, in each picture, it's a story and a conversation with the artist. There's a window that you can enter and an opportunity that helps us to step outside of ourselves and into the visual world. And this, too, can teach us and show us the world and our world. So we need stories in our life, and we need to make time for experiencing stories in our lives. And I think it's the stories that weave our world. And I want to invite you to listen to a conversation I had with Kay Adkins Brown. She's a curator of the new exhibit of Galen Arthur Brown, Shapes and Shadows at the Northfield Arts Guild. One of Galen's quotes was, "My art is not a lecture. I just want people to think." And I think that's a really great introduction to him, his artwork, and it centered around that theme. And his images delve into the shapes and shadows of what he observed. It was the shapes related to war and peace, of justice and injustice, shapes behind other artists' works, shapes in landscapes, and even the shapes related to his own cancer. He challenges viewers to think. And he was active in the Northfield Arts Guild a long time ago as an exhibitor, a volunteer, and a gallery committee member. So many of you may remember him. And this is the premiere of Minnesota premiere of this exhibit, Galen Arthur Brown, Shapes and Shadows at the Northfield Arts Guild. You can view the collection at galenbrownartcollection.com. There's an introduction by Kay Adkins Brown on a YouTube channel, so you can check on that. Or visit northfieldartsguild.org for more information about the exhibit. The opening is tonight, Friday the 28th, from 6:30 to 9. And at 6:30, there's a special presentation of Shrapnel in the Heart, Letters and Remembrances from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial by Laura Palmer. It's read by local actors, and it's a collection of letters that are powerful words written by mothers, daughters, sisters, wives, girlfriends, fathers, sons, brothers, friends, and comrades affected by the Vietnam War. And so it's going to be a great, powerful evening. And at 7:30, curator Kay Adkins Brown will give some remarks. So I invite you to listen to the conversation we had about this exhibit. Well, welcome to Art Zany Radio. It's my pleasure to have you here today.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
This is really going to be an incredible journey, I think, because I'm really, when I heard about this exhibit, I was very honored to be able to do the interview with you. And your name, folks may know you from a long time ago.
A long time ago. probably a lot many more years than I can imagine at this point in time. But I was executive director of the Northfield Arts Guild back in the 80s and early 90s. And we had a lot of fun here. And I was married to Galen at the time, and he was quite involved in the gallery committee as well as creating a lot of different shows. So there will be a lot of people from the community that will remember his work in the gallery. And so for us, it's like a coming home, you know, my bringing Galen's artwork and then being able to go back to the Northfield Arts Guild, which has so many wonderful memories to me. And it's so I think very telling of what the Northfield community is about, that the Arts Guild is still alive and well, and that it reaches out to so many people.
That is true. It is an organization that continues, you know, 50-plus years of bringing the arts to the community. And what are some of the memories, just because I have you on the air, we can talk a little bit about your time as an executive director. What was happening at the Guild during that time?
Well, during that time, one of the women that I always have to mention when we talk about the Northfield Arts Guild is Kathy Peterson. Now, Kathy Peterson was treasurer of the Guild for many, many years. And a lot of the stories revolve around her because when we first came, there wasn't a whole lot of money there. And quite honestly, there would be times when I would not get paid. I would say to her, now, I'll keep raising the money, and when we get the money ahead, then I'll get paid. And it got to the point where we got to laughing, and it'd be, well, $1,000 here or there. And so those were the times at the Guild when we really worked hard to get a steady stream of funding. And I remember the first time when we bounced into the category where we could actually get a Minnesota State Art Board grant. And the first time we ever got a $10,000 Minnesota State Arts Board grant was when I was working there. And so there were a lot of good memories. And we had so much fun. We used to have these wonderful galas that people would come all dressed up. And I've got a few stories about those that I won't tell.
I've heard about those. Those are still around, those stories. And so Galen was an artist for a long period of time.
Yeah, he actually, his journey as an artist began when he came back from the Vietnam War. So his career spanned 40 years.
And so he was a painter and multimedia artist.
Well, I would never call him a painter. Oh. He was a printmaker and a multimedia artist. It wasn't until a lot later that I think he actually came with up with a couple of paintings, but no, that was not his strong suit. He was multimedia, acrylics, colored pencil, you name it. He was very much experimental in the types of art that he would create.
And so his work that's at the is a retrospective of that's at the gallery is a retrospective of his history as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And I was surprised to learn, because I didn't know your relationship, that he was an ex. Yes.
Actually, he is the father of my two daughters, my daughter Jessica Brown, and I have a bonus daughter, Melissa Sullivan, who will both be at the opening, but he was the father of my daughter and my bonus daughter.
And so how would you describe, and maybe we'll get into the story a little bit, but I wanted to, for our listeners, you know, what are the ways that when someone says, well, what kind of work did he do? What's in this exhibit? What do you say?
I've got about a half hour. it is an incredible journey of one artist's, what I call it was journey to healing. And, of course, the name of the show is Shapes and Shadows. And so the retrospective is about 34 pieces that take you through Galen's journey towards healing.
And so, yeah, that's a big part of it. And this exhibit actually first premiered in South Dakota.
Yes.
And so tell us about having that exhibit up there. And this is the first time anyone in Minnesota will see this. So that's kind of exciting.
We chose the Warren Lee Center for the Arts in Vermilion, South Dakota, because that's where Galen actually got his start as an artist. When he came back from Vietnam, he was actually enrolled to be a political scientist and probably maybe even looking at a degree in law. And when he started taking art classes at the university, it opened a whole door for him. And he thought, I can express what I feel politically through my art probably much better than I can do it in any other way. And that was his choice, and that was the career decision that he made.
So now, before he went to Vietnam, did he, in fact, was not he much. Doing art?
No, not much. He may have drawn a few drawings or something, but no, there is no, to my knowledge, there is absolutely no art that exists prior to his Vietnam experience.
That is really interesting that was the path, the way that mm-hmm. the path worked for him.
Yeah.
And it's also really fascinating with this exhibit, the way that the art came to you for you to put together this exhibit. I think that's an important part of the story for our listeners.
Well, Galen passed in 2013 and left all of his artwork to his two daughters. And, of course, it was a very difficult time for them because he, although he had cancer, he was recovering from his cancer, but then he died of anaphylactic shock. So it was very quick and sudden. And so the women, my daughters, went to his studio, and I helped a little bit, but they collected all of his art, over 100 pieces plus, all of his art, and put it in my daughter's basement. And, you know, it sat there. And finally one day, I think it must have been about 2015, I think it sat there for 2 years, I said to my daughters, I said, we have to do something with this art. He had an important message to say. And so they brought it all to my house. And we spent literally weeks going through all of the pieces, separating them, and talking about them, talking about their dad. And when they left, I looked at all these pieces and I said, what are we going to do with all this art? And actually, I wrote a letter to the Twin Cities Public Television story wall for Vietnam. With that particular theme in mind, is that what am I going to do with all this art, Galen? Well, and, you know, I was his ex-wife. You know, it didn't belong to me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I began to journal as I would look at each one of the pieces. He did a whole series of Jessica pieces, and he did, and I'll talk a little bit more about what's in the show a little later. But I thought, wow, this is an incredible story. Because it is one man's 40-year journey as an artist, and you don't very often get to have that in one place.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, some of the conversations I had, I cried a lot, because the time that Galen and I were together, he was suffering from PTSD, and then, of course, eventually, we just had to stop being married. And so there was a whole conversation that I had with mm-hmm. him about this. But I realized that this was his legacy. And other people could view this show that may have had the same Vietnam experiences and find some healing in it. And so that's why we started the whole series called Shapes and Shadows. Because the show starts with one of the first drawings that Galen ever did of his boots, his jungle boots. And I think about all the stuff that had been left on the Vietnam Wall, and that some boots were left there.
Oh, yeah, and so I'll go ahead and remind our listeners that we're talking with Kay Adkins Brown, and we're talking about the exhibit that's at the Northfield Arts Guild right now. It is, the opening is Friday, September 28th, so that's this Friday, and 6:30 to 9 is the opening, and there's a whole lot of special events that we'll talk about that are related to that, and we'll go ahead and go through that, but I want you to know that exhibit is open from now through October 27th, and so I want people to be sure to stop by. It's an incredible, you can visit northfieldartsguild.org for a little bit of information about that on the gallery page, but you can also go to galenbrownartcollection.com, which is a really, it gives you a sampling of the pieces that are in there and the beauty of the work. I think seeing them in person is probably the best way to experience them, but if you're kind kind of curious about what is a multimedia artist? What are these themes that you mentioned? And are you all right?
Okay. You know, sometimes it's not easy for me to talk about this.
I would imagine.
But I think that maybe that's what's so important because it is so emotional. But what I was talking about was the idea, the first part were the Jungle Books or the Jungle Boots, and that they were, some of them were left on the Vietnam Wall. But we're lucky enough to have his, a picture of his Jungle Boots. And that was one of his first drawings. And then at the beginning of the exhibit also is a piece called Under the Surface. And Under the Surface is it's almost difficult to see, but there are drawings of the ribbons and the medals that he got in Vietnam. And those were some of his first two pieces. Now, Galen, I want to talk a little bit about his Vietnam experience because I think that that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
Galen served two tours of duty in Vietnam. And I asked him once, why did you go back a second time? And he said to me, because all the young men that they're sending over there now are so green that they're going to get killed right away, and I at least know what I'm doing.
Mm.
And that's what his answer was. But during his second tour, he was wounded in action in Hue in 1968 and actually was partially paralyzed on his left side, and he slowly recovered from that, but they didn't expect him to live. He got hit in the head.
Oh.
And he received a Purple Heart. But he had such tenacity that he was not going to die. I think he just said, I'm not going to die. And he was in recovery and recuperation for a long, long time. But then he came home. And, you know, then, of course, he started his art career.
And when was it that you met him? Was it before he left?
It was in the 1980s.
Oh, so it was much later.
Yeah, it was much later. But the pieces in this retrospective, those two images, and then also in the retrospective will be the shadow box that contains the flag that was presented to his daughters at his funerals, as well as his Purple Heart. You'll be able to see his Purple Heart as well as some of the other medals. But then throughout the rest of the show, those images are very subtly woven into his pieces. The Jessica series is probably the ones where they're the most obvious. But the Jessica series are very, very political. And the reason we call them the Jessica series is because his daughter Jessica used to go to his studio, which was, I can't remember
Fifth
the name
Street?
Of the stories, like the Hogan. It was right
Brothers?
On Main Street. Yeah, it was like above Hogan's Brothers in that area there. That was where his studio was. And she used to walk home from school and go into his studio, and then she would draw as he would be creating his art. Well, he took these drawings of hers and incorporated them in his art, so we call them the Jessica series.
I saw that on the website, that there's, like you said, little multimedia, so there's things that are added to different layers.
Yeah, and they are fascinating to look at because there are, you know, there's... Down the middle of one of them is one of his ribbons from Vietnam. And then there is a picture of a boxer and Tiananmen Square. And then Jessica's drawing. And then in all of these is the date 3-1968, which is when he got wounded in action.
I wondered that, if that was...
Yeah, and so those are all... in so many of his pieces, and you have to find it. It's kind of like Where's Waldo? You have to find it, but it's there. But his pieces go from the Jessica series, which you can really see the reflection of his Vietnam experiences in those, but then in some of his other series, like the Flag series, there are also subtle references to his Vietnam experiences. When I do my gallery opening on the 28th of September, I'll talk a little bit more about that whole process also.
Yeah, and so it wasn't one something that you expected to curate. It wasn't an exhibit that you were knowing that this was something you were going to be doing. And when these pictures landed with you, I am curious about that process of journaling that you mentioned that you did, and you know, trying to reflect, because it's an interesting weaving of your experience, his experience, and you know, how, you know, was it a conversation in those journals? Was it a
yes? Yeah, they were conversations. You know, sometimes I would look at the pieces and I would think to myself, "What were you thinking here, Galen? I wish you were here to talk to me about this. I wish you were here to talk to me about the process." Sometimes I would find things, like for instance the pieces that Jessica did when she was 3 years old, and then I would talk to him about, "Do you remember when Jesse would come up in the studio?" And then occasionally I would talk to him about, "You know, Galen, I'm so sorry that you passed, but the political times today probably would have killed you anyway." And so sometimes I think about what he would be thinking now and what his art would be like now. I think it would be equally as powerful. But getting back to the process, sometimes Galen always said this, and actually the girls have it tattooed on their arms. He always said, "You do what you gotta do."
Ooh.
And so I'm looking at all this stuff, and of course, you know, as director of the Arts Guild, I've had some experience in working with art and whatever. And I thought, I haven't got any choice in this matter. I have no choice. This is, you know, this is my daughter's legacy. This is a legacy of a person that I love dearly. And I don't have any choice. And so, you know, it's not at all about me. It's about what his legacy is, the story that he's telling. And I'm really honored that I have the opportunity to tell his story.
Yeah, and I do think of that often, that sometimes with a painting or with a picture, I'd like to have an artist, you know, they might have a title, but they might not, you know, have that, "Well, I was thinking about this," or "I had this on my mind." And I thought that was interesting that one of his ideas was he always wanted people to think.
Yes, and some of the people that live in the Northfield area probably, of course, will remember Galen. But if you, he didn't talk about his art much. He didn't talk about his art much because he wanted you to look at it and interpret what you think his art was. And that was also one of his mantras, you know, "My art is not a lecture. I just want people to think."
That was the quote.
Yeah. Yeah. But, he makes me think when I look at it. And so there are a lot of things that he and I used to talk about in general, politically, and so I can see so much of that in his art about the time. I remember us talking about this, and I remember us talking about that, and so the interpretation of the art is through the conversations that I had with Galen.
And so that's how you selected the pieces that will be representative. And we should talk more about some of those themes, because there's separate categories of things. And the first one that's on the website, flags, is one that I think if you're going to look at anything, you should, you know, really look at that. Because I think I can see even the journey, you know, the way the representation shifted as through times, up, down, and it's a really thought-provoking, emotional journey.
We just had a show at the Dow Art Gallery in St. Paul that was just the flags.
Oh.
And so there were, I think, about, I don't know, maybe 50 or 60 flags that were all in one place. And that was an incredibly powerful show, because it's hard to imagine that one person can look at the American flag and interpret it in so many different ways. One of my favorite pieces is a flag that has reversed all of the colors, and so it's not red and blue, it's orange and green, which are opposites on the color wheel. And how did he think of that? Why did he want to do that? But
what was he thinking? Yeah, what do I feel?
Because, well, and then also those American flags really speak out to the to Galen's sense of justice and injustice. He was very upset about Abu Ghraib.
Abu Ghraib?
Yeah, oh. I can't ever say that
I'm
word.
I'm not good either.
Yeah, right. But anyway, there are a number of flags that incorporate the images of the hooded man, the hooded prisoner, just positioned against the Lady Liberty, because he felt very strongly that this group of people were not being treated as we should in the United States, as we should in justice. There are flags that have what appear to be bullet holes in them. And one of the pieces that is going to be in the show is the First Flag is the name of it. And it is a representation of, it's gray and white, and there are 50 stars that you can barely see in the piece with a bullet hole in each one of the stars. And Galen was very much, you know, he very much concerned about gun violence. He was very much concerned about what that was doing to the young people. And so each one of those flags has something that it's saying to you. And you can spend so much time looking at each one of those individually and saying, oh, I see this. Some of them have subtle references to the Ten Amendments.
Mm.
Some of them have scales, justice scales in them. But each one of them has something that you need to look at and should think about. And, what he was wanting you to think about was, we need to look at how the justice is anymore.
Yeah, that comes through, that was clearly something he was working on, something he was processing in terms of what he wanted his artwork to do in the world, mm-hmm. and where he wanted it to go. And it's very moving. And like you said, there's a lot to each piece. And I think what's really interesting is that each piece brings a little, I mean, you bring your story to the piece. He's saying something to you, and you are having a dialogue mm-hmm. with this, and it's and pieces that do that, those are unusual.
Yeah, I know. he was an incredible artist. He was a marvelous artist. The thing about that about this show that I think is very important is that it's timeless.
Mm.
That the issues, the political issues that he was dealing with in a lot of his pieces are still so relevant today. The about the gun violence, he's got one that lists all the Supreme Court justices, and that is in a piece called Wounded Knee, which was in another series. There will be two pieces from his Wounded Knee series in the show. But again, about that's speaking to the justice. But I mean, you look at that now and you go, how important that particular element, who's getting appointed to the Supreme Court justice, what is it doing today? And so it's still there. You just go in the show and so it's like, puh. You know, it's just like he did it yesterday.
And that's part of what I think of, too, is that these stories, we may think that was way back when, right? It was done and we've moved on. But I don't think that anyone who was, you know, a soldier in Vietnam can can be true, and that we shouldn't think that is true, that there's it's not finished, and this is a representation of that, because it was his life's work,
mm-hmm.
and he was working through not only some of his own political or activism but the experiences that he had. And I think that's something that you know, we ought to honor, and this does a great job of showing one man's, you know, Galen Brown in the exhibit Shapes and Shadows at the Northfield Arts Guild. Mm-hmm. It takes us through that.
Yeah, and I want to mention a couple of other series that I think are very important, is that there will be three pieces called the Recovery Series. And when Galen was diagnosed with cancer, back, this was must have been 2011, the first time he was, he took his x-rays, and those were the inspiration for his art pieces. But also, so we're talking about 1968 to 2011, I think it was, when he recovered from his wound in Vietnam. He was so tenacious. And the first time he got cancer, you can see in that period that there are some of those images in his recovery series from his cancer that were in the original pieces. And so he, I believe, found strength in knowing that he had recovered once, he can recover again. And that's, those are powerful pieces. In fact, I have a dear friend who actually, one of the pieces in the show belongs to her. And she, was, recovering from cancer, was, you know, going through the whole process of recovery. And she came to my house one day and I was showing her these recovery pieces. And she said, looked at one of the pieces and she goes, "This gives me so much hope. There's something about this piece that gives me so much hope." And so I gave it to her.
Oh.
And she cherishes that. So in addition to all of the angst and the trauma, Galen had this other side to him that also comes through in his pieces. And that is, he wants you to think, he wants to talk about political issues, but there's also something very hopeful in all of his pieces, and especially the recovery pieces. After he recovered from his first cancer, did these pieces, he went to Laos and Vietnam, returned to Laos and Vietnam, and his wife Sue Ann and he went to Vietnam.
And what age was he?
Oh, this was like 2000. And, I mean, he was old. He was old. He was in his, you know, he was in his 60s, so he'd never been back to Vietnam.
Oh,
you know, so this was just a few, in fact, a couple years before he actually then died. But he had recovered from cancer, and then he went to Vietnam. And there are this series that's called the NAM series. And there will be a couple of them in the show. And it's kind of like the whole journey of his healing when he went back. You see all these colors, his pieces before his NAM pieces were all kind of rather explosive and were poignant. And, you know, you could see that there was a lot of emotion involved in them. And these last series, these NAM series, are beautiful and calm with lovely green hues and gold leaf. And it's like he said, "Okay, I'm okay now. I kind of left some of that there." And so that's a real journey. And one of the things that I've been pleased about, now we've had this show in numerous places, except it's the first time it's ever been in Minnesota, but I have a lot of Vietnam vets that come to the show, and one of them cried through the whole entire show, just cried through the entire show. And he said, I said, "You know, are you okay?" And he's a gentleman I didn't even know, and he said, "I'm okay," he said, "and I'm even more okay now." Ooh. And so under the surface, the pieces and everything, you know, sometimes you just gotta face the stuff that's in you. And I think that that's one of the reasons that this show is so powerful, because Galen really faced what was in him through his art. I want to just also just aside that there's a couple of other pieces that are really important. Is we've talked a lot about Galen's journey as a Vietnam vet who was an artist. I want to talk a little bit about the artist point, of separate separate the veteran from the actual art. Galen was a phenomenal artist, phenomenal technician. He was what they call an artist's artist. Oh. When you look at his pieces, you don't know how he did them. And he would literally, Marie Westerman, who was a friend of his from Northfield, and I were talking, and he would literally do three-dimensional works in a two-dimensional surface. But what he would do is that then he would take a belt sander and he would sand down some of the images. I mean, he would work on his art and work on his art and work on his art. And we are actually in the first stages of creating a series on the process of his art. And that will be a series of interviews so that other artists can come and look at the art and have conversations about it as art.
Yeah, I'm trying to wrap my head around that idea of the three-dimensional and the two-dimensional, and I've not heard of that before.
Yeah,
but he
was, in fact, one of the artists said that he pushed contemporary art to new limits.
Mm.
And I always appreciated that comment because that speaks to his art, not necessarily just to the subject of his art, but the actual process and the actual technique. And so if you are an artist or someone who just likes to look at art without even necessarily thinking about the message, this is also really, really challenging.
And that, yeah, that's true, is that there is that, the pieces themselves as works of art, and then that's just another, that's first and foremost, and then another part of the story is his story. But and anyone brings that to their story, they just don't always all get that tag. Yeah. Yeah. So it's important to separate that. I think that's a really important point.
Mm-hmm. And then also, I want to mention that we have kind of another little thing that's happening at the opening. I don't know if you mentioned it or not before. The opening starts at 6:30, and at 6:30, a group from the Northfield Arts Guild Theater is going to be doing a reading from a book called Shrapnels in the Heart.
Yes, and I do want to hear more about
and
this.
And that will be in the gallery at 6:30.
Yes,
and I believe that. The performance will last about a half hour, but the book Shrapnels in the Heart talks a lot about the letters that people wrote home, and it's the reading of the letters, it's the reading of the experiences, and I think that's a nice way for the show to begin, to kind of bring all that kind of experience back to the people who are coming to the gallery show.
And so you'll want to be there for that. Again, that's at 6:30 in the gallery. Mm-hmm. There's a group from the Northfield Arts Guild Theater. It's Shrapnel in the Heart, Letters and Remembrances from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial by Laura Palmer is the collection. And so that's a really way to ground the opening.
Yeah. So I'm pleased with that. And then at 7:30, I will be actually going around and talking about Galen's journey and talking a little bit about each one of the pieces. And I really enjoy doing that. That's a fun thing. And then to see the people's reactions to it also.
Yeah, and I'm curious, too, from your perspective, as someone who looked at this and maybe his daughter's, too, the healing journey that he took, what did you see or notice, from... Or even if it's not a healing journey, what is what did you see about the progressions of his work, the ways that he developed as an artist, the way pieces changed over those years as you look through the collection?
I think that he got looser.
Mm.
That's about the only way I can really say it, because his first piece were he was very much interested in thinking about art, and then there's also a couple of pieces in there called On a Theme By, where he looked at other people's art, like Rembrandt, and he would take the shapes in Rembrandt's pieces, and he would create a piece of his own from the shapes. So here you have this lovely Rembrandt, the old masters, and then you have this piece with just little triangles and lines. But if you compare the two pieces, you can see where he would get those images from the original pieces. But I think his art opened up more, and I think that that became maybe his own opening up. Mm-hmm. His own opening up. PTSD, back when I was married to Galen, nobody even knew what it was. And it wasn't until, gosh, it must have been, I can't even remember the year, but it was much later when he was finally diagnosed. But that was just one of the, you know, the reality of what that condition was all about. But I do see his opening up of his art.
And I think that's something we, you know, it's lovely to be able to see that retrospective mm-hmm. aspect of someone's art career, to go walk through those doors and, mm-hmm. you know, see what the images developed and how the conversation changed for him.
Yeah.
And you also mentioned, I think it might have been in that letter that you wrote for the, remind listeners again, it's posted
Twin Cities, it's posted on Twin Cities Public Television, and it's called, it's the series on the Vietnam War. Minnesota Remembers Vietnam.
And yours is, what am I going to do with all this art?
Uh-huh.
And you mentioned that this whole process was healing for you as well. That seems like it might have been an unexpected outcome.
Yes, it was. You know, I was a Vietnam War protester back in the 60s. I was never disrespectful to anybody that came home. That I was always very careful about. But I was, you know, anti-war. And here's Galen, who enlisted and then re-upped for another tour of duty, but who was also, in the end, very anti-war. He was a patriot at heart, a mm-hmm. patriot at heart. But you can be a patriot at heart and still believe in things that your government is doing is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And just because you say, I don't think this is right, doesn't mean that you don't love your country. And he loved his country very, very much. But I used to be, of course, listening to his stories, and every so often there would be a bottle of vodka and a Vietnam vet friend over, and they would be drinking the vodka, and then they would become very loose with their conversation and start talking about the things that went on in Vietnam. Horror stories. No way I could ever even repeat them over the radio. Just horror stories. And I would sit up, not drinking vodka, and listen to the stories. And so there were times when his nightmares became my nightmares.
Mm.
And so, you know, then there was all this guilt about, you know, maybe we should have done something better. Maybe there was something we could have done for his depression if we would have known what it was. And so there was all this guilt, plus the fact that I left,
mm-hmm.
you know, that I just couldn't deal with it anymore, or thought I couldn't deal with it anymore. So there was all this guilt that's associated with that. But then going through his art and seeing how he actually grew as an artist, and then he was able to find love with his new wife. And so all this was like, ended up going, ah, thank you, Galen. I feel so much better. Thank you for leaving this art for me so that I could heal too.
That sounds like something a lot of us could use, some of that. And it feels like, too, that this is the beginning of a conversation. I wonder if you have had the opportunity to have thoughts about, you know, you're placing the exhibit and meeting people and talking about it, but are there things that are coming that might be, I imagine.
Yes, this is going to, there's been 5 exhibits this year. This is the end of the exhibits for this year for the solo, but there are other series of works that are very, very important. He did what he called a whole Southeast Asia series, and it was his investigation. The noun pieces are part of that series, but he did investigation of things like the Lao language and there's beautiful pieces. There's six pieces of him trying to understand the Lao language. So that is a whole show unto itself. And so that'll be kind of probably the next one that I'll be working on, more not a retrospective, but a solo exhibit, like the flag pieces were.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is the on-the-theme pieces, which are absolutely incredible pieces, the ones that I talked to you about where we looked at the artist. Two of those pieces were in the Smithsonian New Works on Paper show. And so there's... What I'm going to do is that I'm going to have Galen's pieces, and then I'm going to have a reproduction of the piece that he was looking at, so that people can have a conversation with Botticelli, the master of Botticelli, and then Galen's Botticelli. And, you know, so what was going on? What do we see? What do we see here? And so that in itself will be another show. And then our hope, eventually, if we can get some grant money, is that we would like to produce a book with Galen's story in it and reproductions of his work, but his journey, so that a lot more people can have access to it, his beautiful work, as well as his story of healing.
What a powerful show, and I'm just so honored that you were here to share with our listeners some of the pieces, but we want to encourage people to come to the Northfield Arts Guild to experience the exhibit. If you want to be here for the opening night, again, I want to remind you it's Friday, the 28th, from 6:30 to 9, but if you've missed it, and this is a rebroadcast, you can come now through October 27th at the Northfield Arts Guild Gallery. It's Galen Arthur Brown, Shapes and Shadows, and you can, get more of those details at northfieldartsguild.org. And what a beautiful sort of, it feels like a full circle, but also a blossom in a way that it's got more petals, more things to come.
Yes, and we look forward to it. And I wanted to just mention quickly that when we talked about my particular healing is that my daughters, by looking through the art, and, you know, they have also healed from their grief. And sometimes when they go to the show, it's very difficult for them. But they are healing also. And so I wanted to mention that. And we love to talk about the art, and we'd love everybody to see there. And I hope that some of our old friends from Northfield will show up, because it would be good to see them.
Yes, I imagine there will be. And this is quite an honor to have the show be the first time in Minnesota that the whole entire retrospective is there. So thank you for coming back to the community and for all that you've done over the years for the arts.
Well, thank you. And thank you for having me.
Of course. And this is Paula Granquist. That was Kay Adkins, I forgot to ask you. Did I say that right?
Adkins Brown.
Adkins Brown, right. And so what a great conversation. Lots to think about today on Artsany Radio. Thank you, folks, for listening. I've got a couple invitations to help you think about for the weekend. This is the second annual Northfield Poetry Festival. It kicks off Saturday morning at 10 a.m. at the library with a reading by Minnesota Poet Laureate Joyce Sutphin, as well as others. And there's a whole series of events, so be sure to participate in that great opportunity. Also want to invite you to take a walk around Carlton up at the Bald Spot. My guest last week was David Lefkowitz, and he has a new exhibit, Landscape and Labor, which is installed along the fence around the new construction that's going on the Bald Spot, and it's a really incredible, another thought-provoking exhibit. So I hope that you take some time this week to add some Art Zany to your life, and make some time to enter your imagination today and every day.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault.